Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the NWAC Hoop Show. We do this show every Monday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time. But as I say every week, if you cannot listen live, no problem. You can always go to our podcast by going to www.blogtalkradio.com. And in the search engine, just punch in NWAC Hoop, and that will take you to every single show that we have ever done. I am Gregory Crawford. I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops for all the information about the show and beyond, other basketball and things that I like to keep up on. And, of course, on this show, we talk to four great coaches, four great human beings who are shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. And here's one of those people right now, Jeff Reinland, the outstanding men's basketball coach of Walla Walla Community College. Jeff, how you doing? And I hope you're not having the weather we're having here.
I'm doing well, Greg. No, we're not quite as bad, but we haven't, the weather here hasn't been very good either. So our wind's only been about 50, though, so it's not quite as bad.
Yeah, it's another tough night tonight. A lot of rain, a lot of lightning, a lot of thunder in the Portland metro area where I'm at, but it is what it is. Hey, speaking of it is what it is, practices are starting officially. Jeff, give us a little update on your Walla Walla club, and I know you're excited about the 16-17 season.
You know, and practice is in full swing, and players are we're getting after it every single day, almost 6 days a week anyway, and we're hoping that our guys can keep progressing, and we've looked good so far this fall, but we got to keep getting better on a daily basis, and we got a few things we need to shore up. And offensively, we're looking pretty good. Defensively, I think we're a little bit behind. So that's going to be a big focus for us.
And is that, we hear often that defenses in all sports are a little bit behind. But, talking to some of the coaches on the other programs, and my thought always is to play offense, you better be physically talented. To play defense, Jeff, you got to be mentally tough, just like you have to beat a rebound.
I would agree. You got to have some mental toughness to play good D. And, the biggest problem we're having, is not the work ethic or not the mental toughness, but we've got to learn to get our angles right. Kids are real sloppy nowadays with getting the proper angles defensively, to keep their guys contained and how to help out on defense and then get back to your guy with the right angle. And that's the biggest challenge that we're having, is just getting these kids to understand defensive angles and concepts.
Changes throughout the season as it gets going. Are they a little bit longer right now? And I have to chuckle every time I talk about length of practice, Jeff. Some people know I'm a Linfield product, and I'm fairly old, and I was there with Ted Wilson, who was famous for sometimes on his Sundays, six-hour practices. You don't see those in basketball anymore.
No, definitely not. We go 2 hours right now. It's 2 hours really hard, not a lot of talking. If we're going to talk, we talk before practice or after, so our practices are all kind of timed out and very structured, and we go from one thing to the next, and we want our guys getting the repetitions in, not a lot of talk. So as the season goes on and we get toward, the last half of the league, we'll probably cut it down to an hour and a half, hour and 15 sometimes, but, most of the time we stay at that two-hour mark. So,
Jeff, you hear a lot of people talking about they have good practices and, of course, obviously good games, but you have to have good leadership on a team. Talk a little bit about leadership and how you look for your leaders to kind of take control of things at times.
Well, you know, every year you hopefully have some returning players who have kind of been through the drill before. You know, they've played 30 games and they've been through all the practices and, you know, all the Saturday practices and all that stuff, and they know how to, you know, kind of help the younger guys out. And, you know, this year I have 4 really strong returning players who are very good leaders, and they know how to handle the younger kids a little bit and keep them motivated. So, you know, the bottom line for your leadership is, you know, you got to have good returners, and we don't have a lot of them, but the ones that we do have are really solid.
At Walla Walla, and you've been there a long time and extremely successful, are captains important on your team?
Very important. I mean, you know, basically just for the daily grind of getting through practice every single day, and I'm not a coach. I'm kind of old school that, you know, I don't like to take a whole lot of days off. I don't like to go soft in practice at all. We try to stay intense and keep the intensity up and the focus up. And so, you know, having some captains that have been through that and kind of understand that and understand where I'm coming from is really helpful to the first-year guys. And so I think it's highly important.
Yeah, very, very much so. I would totally agree with you. I'm going to ask everybody this question, and I'd like to ask at least one question of everybody. And you're our great leadoff hitter here. You'd make $10 million in the majors. You do such a good job with this, Jeff. But basketball's gone through a few rule changes as of late. For a long time, they didn't have a lot of dramatic changes. Then they changed a lot of things at one time. Is there still a rule that you would like to see either change or implemented to make the game better?
Yeah, I would like to see the game of basketball go back defensively to advantage, disadvantage. I'm not a big fan right now of all the little, you know, touch fouls that they're calling and you know, not being critical of the refs. It's just the rules, you know, that they have now and they have to follow. But, you know, I really like the idea of advantage, disadvantage on defense, guarding the basketball especially, because what we've done is with these rules, we've actually promoted driving to the basket all the time in hopes that you're going to get a foul call, because almost any contact is a foul now. And a lot of the time the offense is creating that contact. So go back to a little bit of what we used to do on the advantage, disadvantage, and not bail the offensive players out so much.
Very good. I like what you had to say there. I like what you had to say the entire segment, Jeff. You owe credit to the game of basketball, and thanks for being a great leadoff hitter every week on this program.
Oh, thanks, Greg, and thanks for doing this. As we always try to mention, we really appreciate your support and everything you're doing for the NWAC and for basketball. So have a good week. We'll see you next week.
You betcha. That's Jeff Rineland, the outstanding head men's coach at Walla Walla Community College in beautiful Walla Walla, Washington. Now let's stay in the state of Washington and go up to the capital city and talk to Aaron Landon, the boss of the men's team at South Puget Sound Community College. Aaron, good evening. How are you?
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing great tonight. How about you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. How are things with your South Puget Sound team? We're getting there slowly but surely, but it's that time of year when things need to take shape.
Yeah, it sure is. We actually had our down on Friday right around lunchtime, and we had to miss a day of practice, so that was a bummer. But we got off campus to a high school for a long practice on Saturday. And I thought that was great for us. Something about being on the road, out of our own gym, just kind of fired our guys up, and we had a good spirited practice and kind of hunkered down, and the storm passed, and You know, Monday is always a tough day just because we're starting our week, but we just had a pretty good practice this evening. So feeling good, and we're just trying to get 100% healthy before we kind of get into these scrimmages coming up here soon.
I know Cliff is sitting in his easy chair laughing about this because he knows Coach Wilson pretty well. No six-hour practices at South Puget Sound, right?
No. You know what? my wife wouldn't have it. We go a couple hours, and yeah, I don't even know what I'd do for 6 hours. I mean, you know, your guys get to a certain point, and you know, I've cut practices before when I felt like we've had great energy and sustained it for a long period of time. And, you know, at a certain point, you just, you know that your guys are going to kind of plateau, but you definitely don't want to, you know, be forcing too much, especially this time of year. So we've had some long ones, but I'm trying to hang on to my marriage, so I can't be in the gym 6 hours a day for a practice. That just won't work.
Aaron, speaking of old school, it used to be that practices in basketball before season started, games, I should say, had a lot of conditioning involved in it. But now with all the techniques and all the information that's available, players, if they want to play, they better be in condition, I would think, before they show up.
Yeah, it's the truth. You know, it's all about conditioning, and I know I'm the youngest guy on the show, but I feel like I've got kind of an old soul and was raised in kind of an old school program. And at the college I played at, basketball practice was actually part of a class. And you know, my coach, he'd have some random guys that weren't on the team sign up for the class, and he would do the same thing every year. He would make it, he'd tell us, he'd say, this is going to be going to be the worst class you take. You're going to hate it. And we did nothing but condition. He wouldn't even bring the balls out. And those guys that he didn't want in that class, they dropped it in the first couple weeks, and then we get down to business. But no matter what the format of, you know, your practice is, whether it's a class or just a designated practice time, you know, September across the country, I think every single college basketball program is all about conditioning.
Aaron, what are you pleased about so far with your team?
You know what? I'm pleased just, I think, in terms of our sophomores have come back and they've really helped our freshmen. And Jeff kind of hit on it, but you really have to have sophomore returners that understand what to expect. And that's a big part of getting your freshmen through those long, tough practices or those days that seem like they're never going to end. Because they know what to expect, they know how to get through it, and they know how to do it the right way. So I've been really happy with our sophomore leadership so far.
How about, Aaron, you have a keen natural ability to coach basketball and understand the game. I've been around you a lot. Any rule change that you would like to see still come forth in basketball?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm not sure I would change too much. And this would just be specific to the NWAC. I think that we should start playing games a little bit earlier. We don't start until the third weekend in November. And if you look around the country at the four-year level, but also at the community college level, everybody starts usually around that second week or even the end of the first week of November. And I think that's really healthy because I think, you know, you don't want to condense the games where everything has to be a tournament in order to get your maximum amount of games in. So I like the idea of an earlier start date just for the NWAC. But I think that, you know, that's for me just about scheduling and my scheduling style. But in terms of the way, you know, the game is, I like the way it's being officiated, and I'm pretty comfortable with the rules the way they are.
Yeah, it wouldn't break my heart to have an extended NWAC season because I love the NWAC league better than any league I go and watch. So that thank you for saying that for my benefit, selfishly.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Aaron, a final question. You feeling good about this 16-17 season?
Yeah, I mean, we really got to get healthy. I don't know what it is, but we've just been banged up and haven't had, you know, everybody in practice. So I'm hoping that's just a September and October thing, and we can get healthy. I think if we're all healthy, we'll have a chance to be, you know, pretty good. But, you know, we just haven't been able to get everybody on the floor. So we've got scrimmages coming up in a few weeks. We'll do a jamboree down at Lane, and then I won't be at the Clackamas Jamboree this year, but Cliff was nice enough to have us for a single scrimmage so that we'll get a chance to play against a really good Clackamas team. And I'm hoping and praying that he'll at least do one crock pot, some kind of like minor hospitality room, because I'll miss that at the jamboree. But I think if we're healthy, we'll have a chance to be pretty good, and hopefully we'll be healthy in a couple weeks.
Very good, Aaron. I'll be after him on that hospitality room for sure. But thanks for a great job tonight, and we'll talk to you again next Monday night. That's Aaron Landon, the head men's coach of South Puget Sound Community College in beautiful Olympia, Washington. Now another beautiful Washington City, Bellevue. We're going to speak with Jeremy Eggers, who does a tremendous job there at Bellevue College coaching the men's team. And what a great city, what a great school. Good evening, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm great, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Jeremy, your approach to practice, I know you've talked about one thing that's really important on the shows is game speed. How do you handle length of practices?
We're typically a 2-hour practice through the first part of the preseason. We'll cut down come January, even into February, to get in, go hard, get what we need done, prepare for the next opponent, and then get out. I just feel like cutting down come January, February really starts to help us to save legs and stuff like that for league play and hopefully into the playoffs.
You talked about preparing for the next opponent. When the season's going to start here, how soon will you start preparing for that first opponent on your schedule?
You know, honestly, we don't spend a lot of time. My assistants do a great job of breaking down film and scouting our opponents and doing scouting report for the guys. I'm more concerned about what we do. So, honestly, we don't spend a whole lot of time. We'll implement what we're going to have to do against our opponents in our drills and practice leading up, but we don't talk a whole lot about, okay, this is what we got to do for Edmonds or this is what we're going to have to do for Skagit. We kind of just put it into our practice plan so that when it comes time to talk to scout and report with them, they're like, oh, yeah, we worked on that in practice. We got, you know, it makes sense. Without having to really focus on someone else, we want to focus on what we're doing and getting better at what we do.
Jeremy, let's go back to the speed thing because I'm always fascinated about that. Without giving away any proprietary information, obviously you're such an expert coach and successful coach. Can you improve somebody's speed from the start of basketball season to the end of the season, or is that something that needs to be done in the off season?
You mean like individual speed of a player?
Absolutely, yes.
I don't know if it's so much you can improve their speed, but you can improve their conditioning and their endurance, and hopefully work with them on improving their angles, like Coach Ryland talked about defensively, to make them look quicker, look faster because of, you know, their conditioning, their endurance is up. And now when they start to get the right angles, whether it's offense or defense, you know, if you can get those angles better and cut at the right angles and get in help side defense at the right angles and close out at the right angles, you're going to look quicker. So I don't know so much you can actually get quicker. I think you're just better shape, better conditioned, and you improve your angles offensively and defensively. Makes you look quicker.
Jeremy, it's sometimes when we discuss things on this program and other programs and in the media and clinics and everything, it's not exactly the most sexy subject, but rebounding is such a critical part of the game.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, one of our goals we typically have every year is we want to, you know, out-rebound our opponent, you know, every game. And that's offensively and defensively. And that, to me, is a mind – rebounding and playing defense is a mindset. Anybody can do – anybody can rebound. Anybody can play defense if they want to. Do they have the heart and the mindset to go do it? You know, regardless of who up there against, whether the guy's quicker than them, bigger than them, wider than them, faster than them, you can defend and you can rebound if you want, but it's a mindset, and that's something that we work on a lot. And just toughness drills of rebounding, you know, Tom Izzo is real big on the whole war rebounding and making it a battle in there, and we try to do the same thing. We don't have, obviously, as big and physical presence of guys, but we want them competing at all times. It's just battling, because it's a mindset to me.
When it comes to a particular skill, I'm not real big on, oh, this guy's the next Magic Johnson or da-da, you know what I mean. But do you often tell your players to maybe take a look at YouTube or Google some of the people that have been like successful passers or rebounders and watch them besides all your great coaching that you do with them?
Not really. I'm not real big on trying to imitate someone else. I'm more interested in trying to take the quality or the skills and the qualities that an individual has and put them in a position to be able to use those to the best of their ability to help the team. So I don't really, you know, ask them to go emulate someone or watch someone's game or see how they do this or that. More of, okay, this guy can do this. Let's make sure whether it's a set play or a defense or whatever, we're exploiting that skill set that they have to the best of the ability to help the team.
Final question for you, the one I've asked everybody tonight. Any rule change that you'd like to have implemented in the future to make the game better?
No, not really. I kind of like what Ryland said, the disadvantage, you know, guys driving in. And we've been well known for years, for about the last 6-7 years, running the dribble drive, attacking the basket, trying to draw those, you know, fouls. But at the same time, you know, as a defense, you know, we like to pride ourselves in defense. You know, I think there's a lot of times where guys do just put their head down and go in there and scream, yell, flail their arms and legs to get a call, and I'm not a fan of that. So, you know, there is a lot of, you know, touchy calls here and there, and I'm you know, kind of in Ryland's, you know, corner on this, that the advantage disadvantage I think could really help the game if it came back a little bit more.
We'll talk to you again next Monday night. Great job tonight, great information, and thanks for being on the program, Jeremy.
Appreciate it, Greg. Thanks for doing this again.
You betcha. My pleasure. Jeremy Eggers, the head men's coach at Bellevue College. Now let's swing down to our Oregon representative and talk with Cliff Wagner, the head men's coach at Clackamas Community College in beautiful Oregon City, Oregon. Good evening, Cliff. How are you?
Doing well, Greg. Thanks. And thanks for another show with the coaches tonight.
Yeah, thank you. They've done a great job, and I know you will too. I knew you had to chuckle when I talked about the 6-hour practices. That is a lot of practice time. Coach Wilson put their team, and that's a legitimate story. That's not been expanded over the years, as you know.
Yeah, I do know that well, and I, as you know, I played at Western Oregon in the 70s against Ted Wilson's team, and they were always in incredible condition. Just amazing condition they were in. That being said, I'm not sure about 6-hour practices. At my age, I would need a nap somewhere in the middle of that practice, so not sure how that would work out at all. But I also think there's a point in diminishing returns where you can stay in the gym a few hours longer, but you're not maybe getting any better, and you might actually be getting worse. So I do think it's important to push kids hard. I do think it's important to stay on them about getting in shape this time of year, and everybody's trying to get in condition to play actual games, and I don't think any coaches feel like they're in condition yet. So that's what a lot of us are going through right now, early season.
And I think, Cliff, too, is kids are so wise today and knowledgeable and have much more information available to them. They want a practice that's organized, I would think, as well.
Well, they want to practice that's fun and challenging and entertaining, too. Kids want entertainment. Kids want energy. You got to have some fun with what you're doing. But they also know that they need a practice that's going to make them better. So it's important to have a practice that's fast-paced. I think it's important to move quickly from drill to drill. I think it's important to use your time efficiently and condition everybody to do that so that you can get in the gym and finish what you need to do. And if you want to stay in the gym, that's fine. And if you need to get on for other stuff, that's fine. But be efficient and get things done while you're there.
How you feeling? You officially opened practice today. How you feeling about things, and what took place today, and what pleased you?
We had a really good workout today. We went about 2.5 hours, and we really got up and down the floor. We did a real nice conditioning run at the end. We got a lot of scrimmaging in. I was pleased that kids are better about getting into people full court. We're trying to play a lot up tempo. We feel like we've got some depth and the quickness to pick people up a little deeper. So we're working on a lot of different pressure and presses, and kids are starting to get the hang of that. So today was a marked progress in that direction.
Cliff, is this team a little shorter than some of the teams that you've had, and does that create where you need to create a little bit more havoc?
Well, we're not as big as we have been for probably the past 4 or 5 years, but I think we're a little better athletically, and I think we don't necessarily need to get out and play full court havoc, but I do think it's something that we might be able to do very well, so we're trying to take a look at that right now. But we're not exactly tiny. We have a 6'9 sophomore returner. We have a 6'7 sophomore returner with a lot of bounce. We've got a variety of 6'6 kids who have some length and athleticism. So we're not small by NWAC standards, but we're not as big as we have been.
How about, Cliff, the question about the rule change? Anything you'd like to see implemented?
Well, I really agree with what Jeff Reinen said, basically word for word. I think we have changed the game, and we forced people to play a different way. I've been forced, I feel like, in the last 2 years to change what I want to do defensively and offensively just to accommodate the rules, and I don't feel like that's the way it should be. I don't think they're letting kids play through enough stuff. I think there's a lot of stuff that gets called on drives where kids just throw themselves into contact, and that's a tough thing to officiate. I don't know how officials do that and get that part right. So I'd like to see that, excuse me, I'd like to see that get back a more advantage, disadvantage. I prefer that. And another rule change I'd like to see is I'd like to see us go to four quarters and instead of the two halves and adjust the timeout accordingly. But I would like that break, and I think eventually that would speed up the game.
Yeah, I love that. I kind of had forgotten about that, but the women have had a lot of success with that. We got a little less than a minute to go, Cliff, and talk a little bit about your jamboree that's not that far off. I know you got a scrimmage before that, but you got a great jamboree on November 6th, a long tradition.
We do. It's the 23rd year, and we have five of the teams from the NWAC South, and we have a couple more teams coming in. We have Northern Idaho, and we have a JV team from Pacific. We're trying to recruit a few more teams from the North or the East or the West. We'd like to have about three more teams if we could, but we'll go with what's there. But if anybody knows somebody looking for a fun time and it's a great jamboree, we could take a few more teams.
Yeah, that's terrific getting Northern Idaho in. That'll be great. And I know that you'll have a great hospitality room. You get an A-plus there. You get an A-plus as a human being and an A-plus as a basketball coach. So it doesn't get any better than that. That's about a 4.6.
I appreciate that very much. And I hope we have a great turnout for the jamboree. We've decided to donate the gate to the two Northern Idaho coaches who were injured in an accident toward their expenses and stuff. So I hope we can send a few $100 to help some really good guys out as well with the jamboree.
I'll tip a few media people off on that too, Cliff. So thanks for bringing that up. We'll talk to you again next Monday night.
Thanks so much, Greg, and thanks to all the coaches.
You betcha. That's Cliff Wagner, the head men's basketball coach at Clackamas Community College in beautiful Oregon City, Oregon. Thanks for listening, everybody, and don't forget to make your free throws.